following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Good afternoon, officially afternoon.
It is indeed.
We've moved through another quarantined moment, or morning.
Another week.
We're not quarantined right now, but we're not at home, but we're there's nobody else in here except way in the back is Josh. Hi, Josh. I can see his hand waving above the screens back there. And you think about it, send a little blessing to Josh for keeping us rolling, keeping us online, keeping us visible and connectable and all that in the days before this kind of a setup when Christians were scattered, as we've been studying on Sunday mornings, on the weekend, Saturday night and Sunday morning services, there wasn't any of this to keep in touch with each other. An occasional letter would come from house group to house group or
encouraging
hidden
letters,
to hidden
always
group.
Hidden, always encouragement.
Yeah. So I'm thankful that we are a number of technological steps ahead of the rest of the of church history. But here it is, Friday. Happy Friday to you. Happy Shabbat. If any of our friends in Israel are watching right now, I think it is officially evening. Their sun has gone down. And when the sun sets on Friday, is the beginning of Sabbath, Shabbat. And so blessings to you, Sabbath blessings over there to you. And what we're going to do today as we move towards communion, I hope you have a glass and fill it as much as you want. Instead of the tenth of an ounce that we give you when we have communion here together, you can have a full glass and spread it around with your family if you want to do that. And I don't know what your situation is at home, but I would encourage you, gather whoever's in your home together, and we're going to have communion at the end. You can have any kind of bread or toast that you want, and a cup of juice would be great, and you'll be ready for communion. But Joy and I are going to talk a little bit and maybe even hear from some of you that may have responded to an Instagram that I put up this morning and an Instagram live that I did while I was walking on this verse in 3 John, only one chapter in 3 John, but in 3 John verse 3, and I'll read into it a little bit, just the first three verses. John says this, the elder, that's how he looked at himself, also the one who called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved, which you are too if you love Jesus, the elder to the beloved Gaius. Some people say he was the leader of a home cell group or an assembly there in the first century in Ephesus area, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Mm-hmm. I love the degrees that he puts that in. He said, I want you to do well.
Right.
I want you to be healthy. Mm-hmm. But the greatest health is what kind of health?
Spiritual health.
Spiritual health. Yeah. And that's the foundation of all, you know, who we are really, truly. We're spiritual beings with bodies. I mean, we're people, we're souls that happen to live in a body. And so he says, I want you to do well. I want you to prosper. That's our prayer, too, for the people that we serve with. We want you to do well in life, of course. Yeah. And we want you to be healthy and strong. But it's just as your soul prospers. And then verse 3 is what we want to look at for just a couple of moments. He said, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. Now, I just realized I made a typo in my text this morning or my Instagram. I said it was 1 John 3. It's 1 John 4 that I was going after. So after all that, saying, I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. And he says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. In one sense, I think he's saying in those three categories he mentioned in verse 2, you know where you almost all of you see that verse? It's on the bottle of Bragg. What is that stuff everybody has? You mentioned Bragg and they all have it in their home somewhere.
Apple cider vinegar.
And it has 1 John 3, 2 there.
Yeah.
So he says, it's not that I rejoice that you're prospering. It's not my primary joy. My greatest joy isn't that you're doing well in life or that you're even healthy, but he says, I am really greatly rejoicing to hear that you're walking in truth. And so I asked my friends all 5,000, I think, of them that are on Instagram. Tell us what you've been doing. Joy, you've been making a whole lot of phone calls
to
the ladies that are a part of your ladies' ministry.
Yeah, writing letters and making phone calls.
And you've shared with me a few little snippets about what they're doing, how they're walking in truth and what's going on in their life. And so what I did this morning is ask the people that wanted to respond, what are you doing? And I only have one response. Let me see. Yeah, just one. And it's from Paw Scripps, and we know Paw Scripps is, and he has a biblical answer to everything.
Always,
hi, Lenny. Hi, Linda.
Yeah.
And your tribe. And he said, this verse is our family verse. Mm-hmm. We love checking in with the family every day and sharing prayer and praise reports. We also still share our family Sunday dinner together. We just deliver it to front porches. I love that. So Joy and I have done a little bit of that, not so much with dinner, but
on
with
Easter,
little blessings
we
and
did
visits.
That. Mm-hmm.
And that's awesome, Lenny and Linda.
My birthday, yeah.
And what else would you say is in that category of, I mean, we just rejoice to know that our children are walking in truth. What does that mean to you, to know that your kids are walking in truth? She asked me not to put her on the spot, unrehearsed.
But you know what? It's walking in the truth. It's putting on the armor every day, and putting on the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so putting on Jesus every day, I think that is, I have no greater joy than to know, oh shoot, I'm going to cry. That, you know, I just am so much with the ladies here and contact with them in over the phone and different ways. And it's just been to see how they're caring for one another, to see how they're there for each other. And that's what it is to walk in the truth, to walk in that love, to walk in that concern for each other and to.
You know, and I got a drive-by. Actually, we both have gotten drive-bys from Bob and Nancy.
Mm, yeah.
They ride their bikes by our house. And yesterday I was doing something behind the gate in our little side yard, throwing something in the trash can, and I hear somebody, Bill! Hey, Bill! Hey, Bill! It took three times before I walked out, and it was Bob, you know, just riding by and stopped to just chat and to encourage. And that means so much. Mm. Another one that I know of is a couple of brothers, Joe and Joe, who go by Bob and Rocky's every, I think it's Thursday. I think it's Thursday.
Yeah,
someday during the week for their men's fellowship together. Mm-hmm. It might be for watching a live feed together, having what they're calling watch parties together. And people that are, like you said, delivering food and blessings to the people that they care about. And when I think about this too, when I just isolate, which is a dangerous thing to do, I heard one Bible teacher, one professor actually up at Biola, who said, never read a Bible verse. That's one of one of his rules for life. Never read a Bible verse. Read it in context. Don't just pluck it out of its setting.
Yeah.
And so when I pluck verse 4 out of its setting, and it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And that goes beyond, not past, but you carry this with you, the walking in the truth of the Word of God. Yeah. But what a blessing to know that our kids, our four kids, are upstanding, hardworking, honest young people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still calling them young.
Well, they
don't
young.
Think they're as young. But to watch them, you know, and their families too, to watch Bethany and Shannon and Jeremy and Starlin, knowing that they're the kind of people that people can trust. And I think that's involved in what it means to walk in truth, that you're an honest person. But when it comes down to walking in the truth, there's another verse that I want to read before we go to communion. And it's in 1 John. So same John, same author. Mm-hmm. And most likely writing to the same congregation or the same general area, it appears that John spent a lot of his later days after the church was scattered from Jerusalem, that he seems to have focused in Turkey, modern-day Turkey, which was Asia Minor. And so he had impact on many of those churches. But this is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 down to 18. It says this, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother," obviously, or sister, "in need, and shuts up his heart from him." I think one of the old translations says something about shutting up his bowels of compassion, you know, that inner urge to do something. "And he shuts up his heart from him." And John asks a question, how does the love of God abide in him? He said, where's the love in that? That you have a way to help somebody, and you think, and no, you wait a minute, at the beginning of this this pandemic and the beginning of the you know, all of the concern, I hoarded that, and that's for me and my family. And they have nothing to share, not even a roll of toilet paper with someone who needs it, or a cup of beans, or a can of beans. He says, how does the love of God abide in him? Well, the answer is there's no way to know, because if it doesn't show, there's no way to know that the love of God is really in you. And then he says this, verse 18, "My little children," I love the way John spoke to the church, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed
and in truth."
And in truth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in these days where we're restricted because of the quarantine and because of the pandemic, because of this flu that is ravaging the world, we still, as we've talked about in one of our other broadcasts, the Word of God is not bound.
Right. Because the church is not empty. The church is deployed.
That's right. Amen. Yep. It's right where God wanted the truth.
That's exactly
where he wanted the church all the time. We are out in the community, and I pray that in one sense, when the doors, those back doors of our sanctuary open, and I think people are going to flood into churches hungry for that fellowship, I just pray we realize that we gather so that we can prepare to go.
Well, that's what we're all learning.
Yeah.
During this time.
Yeah. And so you're out there on assignment, and I think one of the most important things that you can do is remember who you are in Christ, remember what he did for you, and remember what he gave you when he did what we remember right now with the bread and with the cup. Remember what he did when he took his body. No one took his life from him. Jesus laid his life down on his own. And when he did that for you, and he did that for me. And what we celebrate today, what with grateful hearts and as a sacred memorial, we remember the highest price that was ever paid for anything, and that's the price that was paid for you to save you. If somebody's listening right now and you have never asked Jesus Christ to save your lost soul, do it right now. Don't wait another moment. Say, Jesus, save me. Forgive my sins. Forgive me for resisting you. Come into my life and take over. Save me, Lord, and make me the person you want me to be. And give the reins of your life. Let him take them out of your hands. They never belong in your hands. And put the reins of your life in Jesus' hands. Amen?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what we celebrate here. Now listen to the text and take your bread. Go ahead, babe. Hold it there in your hands. I read the passage to you, and then we'll pray. Paul said, "I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had blessed it, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Close your eyes for just a moment. Let's pray. Father, we remember the cross. It's an easy thing to picture, but it's a hard thing to really meditate upon, all the pain and the agony you went through for us. But Lord, as we turn our eyes to Calvary and we see the body of Jesus nailed down to a cross, head crowned with thorns, his side pierced there at the end, we want to say thank you, Lord, for loving us in a way we didn't deserve. Thank you for sending your Son to die for us, to offer his holy life to you, His perfect life to you. And Lord, we're so thankful that our sin was put upon Him so that it could be taken away. And we give thanks, Lord, as we take this bread in Jesus' name. Let's all of us just say out loud, thank you, Jesus, for that sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus, for that sacrifice. Let's eat together. Now, if you read the text through the Gospels carefully, you'll notice that it wasn't immediately after the bread. It was minutes, maybe even an hour or more later. It was during supper Jesus did the bread, then it was after supper that he took the cup. And it says in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And then Paul adds, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So every living room right now is filled with preachers as we proclaim that we have faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. Lord, we proclaim your death as the cure for that virus of sin that impacted and infected all of us, devastated us, Lord. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. Jesus, who drank the bitter cup of God's wrath so we could drink the sweet cup of salvation. So, Lord, we drink of this today in gratitude, in refreshing gratitude, Lord, reminding ourselves of how deeply you love us. Help us to love you back, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's take the cup together. Oh, bless you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, I was gonna sing a song for you, but I'm not. Can't play the guitar quite yet. But the song was a song I wrote a couple of years ago, I think, and I just call it Breathe. It's got a verse that says, do you ever stop to breathe and just enjoy the beauty around you? Mm-hmm. Next verse says, is your labor never done? Are you a workaholic? You never even stop to look at the beautiful setting sun. And then it says, peace be still. Is it well with your soul, living a life like that? And then it says this, what we've just done. Will you take the time to sup, linger with the bread, and lift the cup? And listen, and let the peace of heaven fill you up. Will you take the time to sup? Well, the answer is you did. And thank you for taking the time to sup with us. Thanks for taking the time to take the bread and to lift the cup and to linger with us just for a few moments. And now that you know how to do it, do that often around your own household. Well, this weekend is upon us, and we have Saturday evening, 6 p.m. We'll be right here bringing the word to you out of chapter 1 of 1 Peter, our second installment in that study on this hope-filled life that we have, the living hope. And then on Sunday morning at 7:30, 9, and 11, we'll be right here again. And tell your friends to join us, especially those who don't know Christ. I believe that God is going to save people this weekend. I am expecting it. And so have a wonderful Friday. Have a wonderful Saturday. And we'll see you sometime. You'll see us. And hopefully we'll connect one way or the other. Mm-hmm. But may the Lord bless you and keep you and refresh you with the depth of the truth of his love for you. Let's walk in truth, not in word only. Let's not just love in word, but indeed and in truth. God bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.